Welcome to the Beat Red Woo! Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We're here to tell you our embarrassing stories and yours. Laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, all the things. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week?
It was good. I mean, I was thinking about this question, like, what am I going to say? This week, I mean, some weird stuff is happening with motherhood. Like, I went into this weird deep dive.
A deep dive about what?
Well, my son has three words. It's mama, dada, and then E-I-E-I-O.
Oh, so that's so cute.
It's so cute. He's like, E-I-E-I-O.
I loved that song when I was a baby, too. My mom always says I would be like, yeah.
Well, see? So it's, okay. Well, I was really proud of him, but then I was listening to the song, and it's, you know, Kid Zone, so they're like, you know, on the old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on the farm, he had a cow, E-I-E-I-O. With a moo moo here and a moo. And I was like, how can you sum up a cow's life just by casting off like the moo like that? I literally was on a walk being like, with an oink oink here, that pig is going to slaughter. And you don't even respect the sound. But what do I want them to be like with a moo, like full on?
More realistic. Yeah,
I want them to get into the character of the cow. But anyway, that's my week.
Like, that's where you're at.
That's where I'm at to this week. I'm just like having philosophical mental meanderings of kid songs.
Okay. All right.
What about you? How was your week?
All right. My week was good. I know. I'm trying to think. I did not plan anything out that I was going to say this week. And I don't have a lot to say. Did some thrifting. You know, as always. And I'm still in the middle of my kitchen revamp. And
how's it going?
It's going. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I still haven't picked the paint. It's going to take some time. By the time this airs, hopefully it will be done and there'll be some pictures that you can see.
It'll be done. Good things come to those who wait. You always unveil and your audience is like, what?
You're very sweet.
Imagination is so good.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Let's tell some stories. Sure, I'll start.
Okay.
This first story comes. This is actually from my real life friend Liz in North Carolina.
Nice. Yay, Liz.
She's so funny. And she writes, and I totally related to this story. When my son was around 4, we were shopping in a super crowded mall in Cincinnati, and he had to use the restroom. My husband was with me, so who knows why I took him into the women's restroom with me, and my husband waited for us outside with the baby, but that's the way it went. My son and I went into the same stall, and I used the restroom after he had finished. The bathroom line was long, and there were a lot of people waiting, so I was trying to be as quick as possible. I should mention that my son was a really loud kid. I'm like, oh, I feel that so hard. Still is.
I'm a really loud kid, so.
So as I finish the restroom and stand up to pull up my shorts, he says loudly, "Mom, your penis looks weird." And so I say, "Well, that's because women don't have penises. They have vaginas." And he says, "No, I'm looking at your penis right now, and it looks weird." He's yelling this, and the bathroom is super crowded. I'm dying. Since he was only 4 at the time and just starting to understand about these things, I calmly and quietly try to explain the differences in anatomy, and then he just starts screaming at the top of his lungs, "What? Your penis is weird! Your penis is weird!" I knew my face was turning bright red because I could only imagine everyone's faces outside. Once again, I said, "Well, it's a vagina, so it would look weird as a penis, I guess." And he stops and says, "There's a penis on your face."
Oh, my God.
I was kind of stunned and said, "You can't say that." I'm trying to quiet him down and usher him out.
"You can't say that."
And then I get a text message from my husband that says, "There's a penis on your face." And I realize that our son is being so loud, my husband can hear him outside of the restroom. I laughed it off, but it was very embarrassing at the time. And that was the last time I took our son into the restroom.
That is so funny. She's like, "You're going with daddy today."
Yes, we are not doing this again. No, but that
totally.
You can
talk about his actual penis.
I remember, I mean, thankfully we were home, but I remember, you know, you can't do anything alone while they're young and like going to the bathroom, like they run in, like when he was like 2 or 3, I remember the same thing. He's like, "What's wrong with your penis?"
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
"I don't have a penis. Girls have a vagina." And like trying to explain that and him just being like, the same thing, like just not being able to comprehend, like, because you know all the parts, like they just don't get it. They don't get it at that age. So it's so funny. But like, luckily I was home and not like in a restroom. But that's such a common
thing.
That
is so cute
for kids to embarrass you in a restroom.
So cute. But I mean, you know, the people washing their hands probably like it made their day.
I'm sure they were dying laughing.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny.
And her just trying to be like, okay, well, all right.
She's like, let's not say that. He's like, there's a penis on your face. Just like going, like just bringing it up.
I love it.
Love it. Yep. It's so funny. Wow.
Kids will embarrass you every time.
That's, I know. Well, I'm gonna tell a story from me, which this is like a good segue into it because my son embarrassed me, but in a cute way, I guess. So when I changed my son's diaper, okay, let me just start by saying when my husband changes my son's diaper, my son, it's a bonding moment for them. They're just, my son is looking at him adoringly. He's like nuzzling his face and it's super quiet and calm. And then when it's my turn, my son turns around and will not like sit still on the changing table. I have to change him on the ground because he'll fly off the table. So I'm literally like, I've caught him by the leg and the shoulder before. And it is a constant source of stress for me.
I mean, every time I'd be like, John, you're changing the diaper.
I
like,
do that when I can, but yeah. I'm with him all day.
Right,
so
when he's at
But I mean, I've been left like sweating before. Like, oh my God, like, oh, just you got your clothes back on. You got your diaper changed. Like, just go and watch some Elmo, like mommy needs a minute. So I have this really sweet neighbor. I'm not going to say her name, but she's so sweet. And she lives next door. And she's always just, whenever I see her, she's like, how's the baby? Oh, how are you? You new mother, beautiful. Like, you know, you're glowing. And oh, what a blessing. What a beautiful life. And I'm like, thank you so much. And I'm always just like, get inside. And then it's like diaper changing time. And this one time, I was changing his diaper and it was such a blowout that I could not believe that Pampers held it all in. Like, I wanted to write them a letter that was like, thank you. Maybe they'll sponsor us.
Sponsored by Pampers.
We should definitely reach out to them.
Wow, it held in a blowout, huh? Those Honest diapers I used to use did not hold in anything. They were blowing up the back.
Yeah, we used Honest ones and it was, sorry, Honest, but it was, I'm being honest.
They're cute, but they're, yeah, they didn't hold in anything.
For forever.
They held nothing. Yeah.
So this was such a blowout that he instantly put his foot in it kicked it and it hit the wall and slapped, like fell on the ground and was just oozing out. He crawled over to it, slammed his hand inside, grabbed his curtain, and then he grabbed my hair.
How did he do all this?
He was so fast. He's so fast. He's crazy fast. And maybe he's like possessed. I don't know. He's like one of those babies in those horror movies who's like just all of a sudden he's over here and over there and then you get killed. But I mean, I love my son. I do. But I'm the whole time, I swear like a sailor because he's only one. He's not going to hopefully repeat what I'm saying, but I'm literally I'm like, Eli, there is shit everywhere. Like, stop it. Oh my God, Eli, don't pull mommy's hair. Like, I'm like, Eli, this is disgusting. Oh, there's shit everywhere. I was just freaking out. And then I realized that the window was open. And I looked out the window and my neighbor, Lydia, who's in her 80s, is outside with her, like a friend, an 80-year-old friend. And they're having like a meal outside.
Oh no.
And I am just screaming like, Elliot, you shit everywhere. It's disgusting, man. I'm like, come on, man. You got to sit still, man. Like, I am going crazy. And he's laughing. He does not care. It's not like he's traumatized by my reaction at all. He's just like, it's making him even like want to play even more. He just doesn't get the tone yet.
He's like, oh, I'm going to do this again. This got a great reaction.
Like, my mommy is having fun too.
I'm going to do this again. Yeah.
And so I just do what you do, which I just was like, smiled and slowly closed the window and then drew the shade and felt so terrible. And I have a sailor mouth. But yeah, kids will embarrass you every time.
They'll get you every time.
They'll get you every time. I don't know how to course correct on that. If anyone has any advice, write us, let us know.
You're better than me.
Okay.
You got any advice on that? You're better than me.
You're better than me.
It's what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
This next story comes from Becky in New Jersey, and she writes, my daughter was a very imaginative kid. So imaginative, in fact, that she would often create scenarios and stories that didn't actually happen. Usually they were harmless. At the end of the school year, my kids bring everything home that they worked on all year, and I look through it, enjoying seeing their artwork and the stories they wrote, book reports, etc. My two boys all just wrote about real things, but my daughter was always making things up about places we went and things that she saw that didn't actually happen.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, right?
She's a storyteller.
When my daughter was finishing sixth grade, she brought home all of her paperwork and I sat down to rifle through it. As I was musing over her drawings, I came upon an essay titled What I Did Last Summer. The teacher had asked all of the students to write about their summer breaks. I started to chuckle when I read what my daughter wrote about places that we didn't go and this completely fake vacation we never took. I love it. She's just a pathological liar
she
at a young age.
She just started
fantastic.
Lying early on.
She said we went to California and she made up things about going to the beach, seeing the Hollywood sign, exotic animals at the zoo, and she even threw in a celebrity sighting.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I love it. But the worst part of this fake holiday was when she wrote about the ritzy hotel we supposedly stayed in and then wrote a whole paragraph about how her dad and I had hot sex in the hotel.
Okay,
like we are porn stars or something.
Oh my
and the teacher actually wrote on her story at the top, I'm glad your parents had an enjoyable time.
No way. That teacher is cool. I mean,
can you believe?
I can't believe it. How does she know?
But of all the things,
how old
well,
is she?
She's in sixth grade.
She's in sixth
so
grade.
So she would know, but like, I can't imagine writing about my parents having sex in sixth grade.
And then giving it to your teacher.
But also, I'm like, did she act like that was like in front of them? Like, what happened? That's so crazy. I spent all year not knowing about any of this, and I talked to the teacher several times. I'm sure she thought I was a total weirdo. My friend that's a teacher said, you know, that was shared in the staff room.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Can you imagine that teacher going
Everyone
through and being
knew.
Like, that's so embarrassing. Like, she's just completely making up a full-on vacation and that you guys had hot sex in the hotel room, which is like, ew, and what and why?
Yeah, you're like, we went to Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah, like,
we didn't go anywhere.
What are you talking about?
We went apple picking.
I
okay?
think I would make my kid go tell the truth.
Well, it was the end of the school year.
Oh, right.
Sixth grade, so she's probably on to another school. She's probably like, oh, well, whatever. I'll never see
I'm
the teacher again.
I'm going out with a bang.
But that's a literal bang.
I'm going out with my parents' bang.
But that would be embarrassing and weird to
that
have your kid.
That would be so embarrassing.
Like that in a report, and then you don't know the whole year you're talking to the teacher, and the teacher's like,
yeah,
okay.
Because the teacher's like, wow, you know, they had a great vacation, celebrity sightings, California, a ritzy hotel, like was
With
it the Beverly
sex.
Hills? And then her parents had sex like that, and the kids are there. That's not good. That's so funny.
So random.
So good. That's so good. Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay. This is from Charlotte in Illinois. And she wrote, I was 16 and had been waiting my whole life to get my driver's license. The dream was sliding into the driver's seat, picking up my friends and rolling around town. I'd be their ticket to wild nights and fast adventures, or just someone who could drive us to the 7-Eleven. I'd read all of the material, endured practice drives with my folks, and put up with my dad's rhetorical questions. Is that how you're going to drive? The only answer to that was, no, if I want to live. After all that practice, I was ready to take the test. On the big day, all my friends were meeting at my house so we could go cruising, me with my ticket to freedom and them with their envy. At the DMV, my mom sat down to wait as I strolled up to take the written exam. Nailed it. Then it was time for my driving test. The man I would be driving with was, let's just say, less than thrilled to be there. He smelled like a bowling alley from 1983. So did my driver's test guy. He smelled just like stale cigarettes. And I remember sweat dripping down his face. We shook hands and headed out to the car. While driving, I did everything I could think of to wow him. Hand over hand on the turns, didn't forget to look both ways at stops, checked my mirrors for a cinch too long so he'd take note, which he did. As we entered the highway, I was as stoic as a monk, making it clear that his life in my hands was no laughing matter. When it came time for the three-point turn, I did a near-perfect one. We pulled back to the DMV and I casually looked at him. It's been an honor, I said, putting my hand out for a final shake. You failed.
Oh said, my God.
Staring me dead in the eye. Ha ha ha, good one, I said as I opened the door to get out. No, really, you failed. There was a stop sign back there and you didn't make a complete stop. A rolling stop is a traffic violation. That's a fail. Come back in a week. Can you imagine? I walked back in silence. My mom was waiting for me and she'd said, congratulations, and gave me a huge hug. I cried. I was so embarrassed. I didn't pass, I sobbed into her shoulder. Getting snot everywhere, I told her what happened and she put her arm around me. I cried when she got in the driver's seat and drove us home. Because you have these big expectations.
I relate to that so hard. It's almost like I could have written that. But for mine, so I failed my first time too. I wanted nothing but to drive my entire life. I love driving. It's like my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
So 15, like getting your, you know, going in to finally be able to drive after you get your learner's permit. You're so excited. And I went with my boyfriend at the time and
oh, nice.
I was so excited. And I think I went with my boyfriend either. I went with my boyfriend or he was coming to pick me up. I think I went with him. I think he took me. So I ended up, I had a woman for mine. And when we got to parallel parking, so I didn't even like, quote unquote, fail it. It had been like 2 minutes. And she said, stop, turn the engine out, get out of the car. And she's like, you took too long.
Wait, so what?
She didn't give me enough time to do it. So no. She literally was like, after like 2 minutes, she made me stop the car. I had to get out, walk a shame, walk around to the passenger side.
And she took over?
And she took over. Yeah. And drove
that
the
person
way.
Needs to get
I was
fired.
Humiliated. I was so embarrassed. And I was so devastated because I was like, I'm finally getting my license. I passed the next time. But yeah,
parallel parking,
she said I took too long.
Takes longer parking. Than 2 minutes yeah. sometimes.
2 minute timer. She said, get out.
I like, did oh, not no. remember that was part of the test that yeah. you have to do a 2 minute.
Well, that's what she said
park.
To me. I didn't feel like it was fair because I was no, like, I can get fair. This. I can adjust it. I'm a great parallel parker now, I have to say. But yeah,
you're like, you time yourself. You do like check practice
I time
runs.
It. I do it in 90 seconds.
You're like,
okay.
Like Mirage. Hit the clock. Go.
Go.
But yeah. Yeah, that you never forget.
You never
that.
Forget it.
You
it's so embarrassing do. And so yeah. devastating at that age.
Well, yeah. and she was on her way back to like all of her friends were there.
Yeah.
To her
no,
house.
No, it's such a celebration. You're like, oh my God, I'm getting my license.
Right.
And then you tell everyone, and then you have to go and tell everyone, I failed.
Did you do that?
Yeah, of course. Everyone thought you tell all your friends, I'm getting my license today. I'm driving today. Like you're yeah. so excited. And I was young for my class too. Like I graduated at 17. So I was young. I was like one of the last to get my license anyway.
Oh,
so
man.
Then it's like I failed.
So you went on so many victory rides with your other friends when they got their licenses
and
you
I picked failed.
Up and then you could not return the favor.
Sorry, I failed.
Yeah, yeah. That's so that probably happens a lot.
Okay, let's hear another one. This next story comes from Sarah. She's actually an Instagram friend of mine. So I had asked on Instagram if anyone had embarrassing plane stories because it popped into my head one day. I'm like, you know what? Someone has to have a story about barfing in that little paper bag.
Oh, yeah. I remember you. When you posted that.
She more than delivered. Okay.
Yo, no.
Yes. Okay. So she writes, my partner and I were going to Minneapolis for our family wedding. So we took a red eye from Los Angeles. I hate red eyes. I can never sleep on planes. And this is the story of the last time I flew one.
Oh, no.
I also hate red eyes and I'm about to fly one in a month. So I don't know why God. I did that to myself. But anyway,
you can't sleep on them.
Never.
Okay.
I really wanted to get some sleep because we had a big weekend ahead. While we were in the airport, I went into a shop and I saw this thing called Dream Water, which is basically liquid melatonin and it's supposed to help you sleep.
Oh, no.
I bought it, desperate to try anything to help me fall asleep on the plane. We had arrived early and had a couple of hours before our flight, so my partner and I had a glass of wine at the airport bar before we boarded the flight. We were flying first class. Ooh la la.
Yay.
And we sat down. I had another glass of wine before the flight took off. Between the wine and the melatonin, I figured I would definitely sleep on the plane. I knocked out, and the next thing I know, I woke up feeling like I was going to puke. My partner, Craig, was mad because he said I completely crawled over him to get to the bathroom, like picturing her in first class.
He's asleep.
Like crawling over him is the funniest imagery. I don't even remember that. So somehow I make it to the outside of the bathroom door in first class, and then I passed out. I don't remember that either, which is probably fortunate.
No.
I come to and there are three flight attendants and Craig standing over me. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I immediately felt sick again and pushed my way into the bathroom where I started throwing up.
Oh,
now they're
God.
Making announcements over the speaker on the plane and asking for a doctor.
Oh, she's just
you're
projectile
in there,
vomiting.
Projectile vomiting. You've passed out. And they're saying, is there a doctor baby. On the plane? That's like the worst feeling.
That's so crazy.
A woman comes. So it's like you're trying to draw no attention to yourself. And now you've gotten the attention of the entire plane.
Yeah.
Like
but
everyone,
you have to go fast.
You have
you're
woken
throw
people
up
over the speaker.
Oh, right.
Like,
it's a
everyone
red eye.
Knows like everyone knows that you're puking.
That's
everyone knows
crazy.
That there's something wrong with you. Like
yeah,
it's so all spotlight on you.
Yeah.
Like they literally have a speaker and they're saying like,
she's
can
like,
anyone
is there a
come?
Doctor? Someone's
yeah.
throwing up. All
yes,
over the place.
It's crazy.
Wow.
A woman comes up who was a nurse and starts talking to me, and she deduced that I had gotten sick because I took melatonin and wine, and you aren't supposed to mix alcohol with melatonin because you can get really sick.
Oh,
exactly
no.
what was happening. Everything from that point on is fuzzy, but I spent most of the flight in the bathroom puking. The door was open. The nurse was standing over me and the flight attendants. It was mortifying.
So
the plane now has to land, so I have to go back to my seat, and I'm still sick. So for the entire descent, I'm puking into the little paper bag they give you.
They delivered.
And then adding insult to injury and more embarrassing, I found out that whenever a medical event happens on a plane, they will not let you get off the plane. They will not let anyone get off the plane.
What?
So you have to wait and they bring paramedics in and they won't let you walk. You have to get into a wheelchair You have to get into a wheelchair, be escorted off the plane and assessed. Can you imagine?
That is so funny.
So everyone has been kept awake. You've been puking all night. Oh, you feel God. Like garbage. And yeah. then you have to be escorted off the plane in a freaking wheelchair and nobody can get off the plane. And you know those crazy people that are like standing before the plane even fucking lands and they're like, waiting for their suitcases.
They're going nowhere.
And they are going nowhere for like 30 minutes for you to get into a wheelchair and get off
also,
the plane.
Also, what about the connecting flights? If you missed your flight for that, I'd be so mad.
It is not good.
That's not good.
So... okay, so everyone is waiting and pissed, and they wheel me over to the gate where I have to sit in a wheelchair and wait as the whole flight finally exits the plane, passes by me, and stares.
I hope she had sunglasses.
They took my blood pressure, hooked me up to machines all in front of the gate while everyone was staring at me. And meanwhile, I'm still sick. Like, get me the hell out of here. God. I need to lie down.
Oh, my Can you God. That imagine? Is amazing.
That is a hell.
That is a spectacular story of embarrassment.
It's not even done. Okay, but it is such a, like, I know. God. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be?
No.
They finally finished with me and released me. It was a red eye, as I mentioned. So it was early in the morning and our hotel wasn't ready yet. I felt like I had the worst hangover in the history of hangovers ever. And I just wanted to crawl into a hole and die. At this point, I'm not throwing up anymore. So I just ball up my jacket like a pillow and I laid down on the airport bench and went to sleep. When we finally got to the hotel, I slept the entire day. I stayed in bed until the next morning, and thankfully I felt fine after that. So the moral of the story is don't mix melatonin and alcohol, and especially don't do it when you're on a plane.
Oh my God. That story. Thank you so much for
Isn't
that story.
Isn't it so good?
It's so good, and it's so embarrassing, and I cannot believe that happened to somebody.
Yeah, it's bad enough that you're throwing up on a plane, whether it's in the bag or in the bathroom. Either way, that's embarrassing because you know people can hear you. They're waiting. There's one bathroom, and she took up the bathroom the entire flight in first class.
In first class, so you have to think, like, people paid for
all
that
the
bathroom.
First class people couldn't use the bathroom the entire flight. The doors God. Open, a nurse is over you, an attendant's over you, and you're just vomiting in front of everyone in first class for the entire
so
flight.
So embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Enough. But I think so I would be more embarrassed over the fact that everyone has to wait because of me and I have to get into a wheelchair and have my blood pressure taken in front of everyone.
The wheelchair is the fun, so funny.
Staring at you. It's horrific.
It's so funny
it's
because
it's such a good story.
It's like you feel terrible and then you just like roll past everyone. Yes. Like you just can't even walk with dignity. You're just like, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to, like, everyone's going to know. You
and they
know?
All get off the plane and they're all looking at you. Like,
yeah. And
what happened?
The paramedics didn't even pull you away a little bit. They were just like, you're getting parked in front of in front of all those pissed people who missed their flight. Oh, that's such a good story.
Isn't it? I was like, oh, yeah, if you have a good flight story, right into us. Yeah.
You should do that every week with like a specific thing. Cause that story is amazing. And you never would have heard it if you hadn't reached out.
I know.
Out
it just popped
said,
into my head. I was like, bag. Yeah, it just popped into my head. So.
It's so good.
That's such a good story.
Oh,
thank you
gosh.
So much for sharing that.
Thank you so much. Wow. That's so bad. Okay. This is from Brad in Wisconsin. And he wrote, many of us are familiar with the awkward dynamic caused by the dreaded staff retreat. The uncomfortable experience where we are forced to interact with the people we work with in weird places to bond. I once had to go to an ESPN zone with people I worked with on Wall Street.
You did?
Yeah. And I was like competitively like playing video games with them. It was so weird. In general, I'm not particularly social, he writes. I'm also the kind of person who prefers to draw a clear line between work life and personal life. Last year, the Human Resources Department for the nonprofit I work for set up a team building activity at an escape room. The idea of being trapped in an enclosed space with a random mix of coworkers was definitely not my idea of a great time, but I would do my best to be a willing participant.
I love how many like businesses, though, like think escape room for their employees.
Yes.
Like none of them want to do it. None of them want to do it.
And
it's
their
hilarious.
Personalities come out so clear, though. It's so good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always going to be that one person that just wants to like find the clues.
Yeah.
We were broken up into small groups and given room assignments. The first group was sent off to a Wizard of Oz themed room. The second group to a circus themed room. My group was sent to the Houdini room. So there I was with a driftless group from different departments crammed into a cheesy magic dungeon. First, we were tasked with finding a key to get into another room, which to my delight, we did quickly. This was followed by more cheese ball shenanigans. But once we entered the third room, someone needed to get into the cabinet of death. Everyone quickly said that they were claustrophobic. I would have done that. I'd be like, I'm claustrophobic. Who's going to do this? Not being afraid of enclosed spaces, I volunteered to get in the cabinet. What I have not mentioned until this point in the story is that we had had a catered lunch prior to our trip to the escape room.
Uh-oh.
I am lactose intolerant
Uh-oh.
And always do my best to avoid dairy, but I had missed the cheese and the tacos. My entire experience in the escape room had been colored by intestinal cramping and insane farts that I had been fighting to keep as quiet as possible.
Wait, so he'd been farting in the room with everyone the whole time? How are they not smelling doing that. And lactose intolerant farts sure are deadly.
They are deadly. Seeing the cabinet of death, my hope was that I could climb in the closet, enclosed space, and fart to my heart's content. The cabinet of death.
He's like, I'll go in there.
He's going to kill himself with his own farts.
You guys, for my toxic farts. But first of all, I'm sorry. How did no one know? Like, you guys are, those rooms are not big.
They are also not, there's no windows in there. So there's no ventilation.
There's no way they weren't smelling that. Yeah, they're like, get in the cabinet of death. Like, they probably with your death ass right now. Get in there.
So in I climbed. My coworkers shut the lid and immediately the fake bottom of the cabinet dropped off from beneath me. I slammed onto the floor. It was a cheap Houdini-esque trick for the ages. However, in my surprise, my stored up farts turned into a full-blown shit.
Oh, no!
So he drops out. Can you imagine? You like drop out from the cabinet of death into some kind of pit and you poop your pants.
That could have hurt, too.
Well, I'm sure that they had it padded. You know what I mean? But still, he like, it was so shocking.
He wasn't surprised, but he wasn't expecting it. Yeah, surprise poop.
So what?
Surprise drop in your pants. Oh, my God.
What is that smell I heard from above me? The cabinet of death trick had dropped me below my fellow workers, but clearly not deep enough to bury the smell of my accident. I was to crawl through a small tunnel and pull a cord to open the exit to our escape room. It smells like shit in here. From human resources, I pulled the cord to release us all from the smelly nightmare and climbed up through a hole in the floor. As I emerged, I saw the surprised looks on my coworkers' faces, followed immediately by looks of profound disgust as the smell caught up with me.
Oh, no.
I knew there was no denying what had happened.
Oh, no.
It's been pretty quiet around my desk since then, but I have no doubt that because of me, all of the folks in that room bonded in a way far deeper than any human resources drone could have ever imagined.
Oh. They won and they escaped.
They escaped. I don't know if they
won. They didn't
won.
Escape the smell.
But can you imagine?
He is the top. Yeah, he's like, they bonded over they me bonded. Shitting my pants. That's nice.
I mean,
they bonded over my disgusting smell and they talk about it to this day. They don't talk about it with me. I didn't bond with them, but they bonded with each other.
I did not get invited to the next escape room. Just
that's
kidding.
Honestly iconic. And I love that they're like telling it with such
in
humor.
An escape
it's so great.
Room. That's hard.
Yeah. Couldn't escape
that's
that.
That's embarrassing.
Ugh. That's a really good one. Okay. My last story comes from Amy in Florida, and she writes, one of my best friends got married a few summers ago, and I was a bridesmaid in her wedding. She got married at a beautiful estate with a rose garden. Our dresses were navy and very chic, and I was having a great hair day and very much looking forward to the pictures. The bridal party was getting ready and preparing for the pictures, and they brought us some food to eat in the suite. My hair and makeup was finished, and I was starving, so I started chowing down on these incredible goat cheese appetizers like there was no tomorrow.
Yum.
It wasn't long after that I was starting to feel off.
Ooh, lactose intolerant.
Stomach was a bubbling.
Okay.
I know, I'm like, there's a theme here. There's a cheese theme here.
It happens to everybody.
I raced to one of the bathrooms located in a guest house nearby, thinking it was far enough away from the rest of the party to keep them safe from the bomb I was about to unleash. So I handled my business, left the bathroom, and coyly returned to the rest of the group just in time for pictures. A few minutes go by, and I thought it was safe when I see one of the party planners approach the bride in a hurry to tell her there must be a major sewage leak in the guest house, judging by the offensive smell coming from the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I freeze in embarrassment. But of course, I do not say anything. For the whole night, no one was allowed to use that bathroom, causing huge lines of people waiting for the only other available bathroom at the venue.
That
my crush was there and he kept mentioning how bad the smell was, and I pretended to be so grossed out and gagging when in fact it came from my own asshole.
If you can't beat him, join him.
A mutual friend wanted to have her wedding there, and my friends advised against it years later, still talking about how bad the sewer smell was.
The venue got it. The venue
the bride
got docked.
Still doesn't know it was me to this day. Thanks a lot, IBS. I love it.
Thanks a lot, IBS.
Her shit smelled so bad that the party planner ran to the bride and said there is a sewage leak in the bathroom and no one can use it for the rest of the night.
That is terrible.
It's so good.
Goat cheese appetizers.
Goat
no
cheese.
I just love how people are like, do not use that venue. they have sewer issues.
It smells so bad there, you guys. It stunk up the entire night. But the fact that it smelled so bad and didn't go away for like hours is really funny. Like,
that is so
what
funny.
What happened in
I
there?
Love the reaction too. And I know we've all done it where you caused the mess, but no one knows. And so you're like, I cannot believe. And you
can
take it too far.
You
you're like,
believe
whoever
how gross.
Did that is disgusting.
This venue is a garbage. Know,
obviously they need their pipes changed. My God. You know what I mean? That's just so funny.
It's so good.
Oh my God, that's so good. Okay, my last story is from Guy in New York, but I'm gonna say Guy. I think it's Guy. Right?
Oh, okay.
Guy. Just spelled Guy, but I mean, there's Guy Pierce, so maybe Guy. I'm gonna say Guy.
Guy.
The French Guy. Pronunciation. I don't know why I said French pronunciation in an English accent. I just it's all off. It's just way off. I would
Guy. Yeah. Guy. Guy. Whatever
your
name.
It's Guy in
hey,
New York. Okay, he wrote, going to see a friend's band when you've never heard their music is always kind of a risky proposition. Mm-hmm. Been there.
Yeah, it's always sketchy business.
You never know. Sometimes it's an amazing experience and you get to see a side of a person you've never seen. But sometimes, if the show is bad, you're stuck in an awkward situation.
It's rarely good.
Well, yeah. I'm
Let's get real. It's rarely good. That and one person shows most of the time.
Oh,
I mean, our
yeah.
friend Erica's is amazing, I will
oh,
say.
Oh, God, yes.
Incredible.
Vacuum Girl.
Incredible.
So good.
Incredible. Go see it. Oh. She's phenomenal. And you guys, I was, I know she's really funny, but I was not expecting to be blown away.
She
like
wrote
I was.
It. And yeah. Yeah, so good.
But most of the time, you're like,
I know.
You're like, you have to be like, oh, that was great.
The
job.
Set was awesome.
Wow, I liked your blocking. That was really cool. Liked your, what you wore. It was nice.
Like your costume.
Your hair
dresses.
Looks really good.
This little lighting was great. Okay, so we wrote, a couple of years ago, my friend Rob invited me to see his band called The Imaginations. I liked Rob and I thought the name sounded cool. I agreed to go. Around the same time, I had started dating a talented musician. I'd seen her show in Brooklyn and her band rocked. We'd been out on a few dates and I thought it'd be sexy to invite her to see my friend's band. Good job.
I got a friend that has a band. Hey, it's really cool.
Do you maybe want to go check this other person's band out?
I'm cool by association. Whatever works.
Sometimes he says hi to me.
Whatever works, Guy. Whatever
yeah,
works.
Come on, Guy. Why is that funny? She asked me if I'd heard their stuff before and I said no. My first clue that something was off as I purchased tickets online was the promo image of The Imaginations. It was just a picture of Rob wearing a jester's hat and leaning into the camera with a wild look in his eyes and his tongue hanging out.
Oh no. Oh,
so that
no.
Friday, my girl and I show up at the venue ready for a show. Rob was on first, so we didn't have to wait too long. Rob walked on stage wearing a white boiler suit with fake blood all over it. Already not a great sign. I am the Imaginations, he proclaimed before sitting on a stool. It was at this point it hit me that there were no instruments on stage. My stomach sank. Then he pulled out a pair of headphones. Tonight, you will have to guess which album, he paused for dramatic emphasis, I'm playing.
Oh, no.
He then put the headphones on and hit play on his phone. He stood still for a second, closed his eyes, took a deep breath, and began playing the air guitar.
Wait, is this like a music venue?
Yes.
What? And he told his friend it was a band?
This is his band.
Oh, my God.
Soon, he was thrashing around the stage. He was wailing on air drums over here, now mutely singing his heart out center stage. It was a fireworks display of stupidity.
That's a performance art. That's not...
It's performance
that's, yeah,
art.
Yeah, that's not a band.
As the concert continued, I realized that this was the show. Not one real note was going to be played. My date excused herself to go to the bathroom.
Never came back.
And I continued to watch the show. Katie, you're dead on.
Oh, my God.
5 minutes passed. He incorporated air keyboard and the audience to the audience's dismay. 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It was then that I realized that my date had been gone for a long time. I walked over to where the bathrooms were and a young woman was walking out and I asked, is there anyone else in there? And she said, no.
Oh,
I looked at the bar. She wasn't
you got
there.
Ditched.
I stepped outside. She wasn't there. She had bailed on me. Would you ever do that? Would you ever walk out on someone and just leave them hanging like that?
I mean, is this a first date?
No, they've been dating. Like, they've had a few dates.
No, that's super.
That's super rude.
I would probably look at my date and like, gauge and be like, are you feeling this? Like, yeah, this is pretty like, bad. I can't do this. Like, I would be giving him a look like, are you fucking for real right now?
Seriously.
And he would hopefully say to me, do you want to get out of here? And I'd be like, abso-fucking-lutely,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, just leave in the middle of it. Because yeah. It's so stupid. Who does that? Wait, you're saying,
if that
imagine,
was me, though, and I invited my date to that, like, I would going. Be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. He told me it was a band. Let's get out of here.
This guy was like trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
He was trying to play it
cool. And I don't know
cool.
how close he was with that friend too, because that is awkward. Like maybe it was one of his really good friends yeah. and he had to kind of stay.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I really like someone, there's no way I would do that. You know,
no, you don't,
stick
you're
it out
never
going
to see them again.
And also I honestly would probably want to stay because it sounds hilarious. And
well, like, so he wrote
to talk like, about it after the fact. And that would be
hilarious.
Like an inside joke for years. Like I would stay just for the sheer, yes. you know, just to
it's
make
bonding.
Fun of it. Like it's hilarious.
Well, yeah. He wrote, as I walked back inside, Rob had just finished. Did you figure it out? What album was it? The audience looked at him dumbstruck. He walked in silence. He waited in silence for about 10 seconds.
So not song, album. He went through an entire album.
Album.
So people sat through like 10 songs of him just
I
moving
mean,
around the
yeah,
stage.
I guess. So he probably did a few songs because you can't. That's an hour
That's
of that.
Wild, yeah.
And he waited in silence, which is so stupid that he was like, anyone gonna guess? Like, who's gonna guess?
Oh, he was trying to do a thing.
It was Pet Sounds, you dumb fucks. He said that.
Oh.
That's a real quote of someone. I was glad my date wasn't there to be called a dumb fuck. We were the dumb fucks. We're watching an art piece like that. And I'd driven off my date. He was apparently so horrified by the performance, he never wanted to hang out again.
Oh.
Can you imagine saying that to someone being like, oh, all these people just watched you thrash around your stage doing nothing with except doing air instruments. And then you yeah. call them dumb fucks.
Well,
that
he's
is
clearly
crazy.
Like trying to like do a
provoke.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine being the band on after that? Like, okay, thanks
are
for
you
coming.
Are you kidding me? That's the best band to go on after that. That's who you want to follow.
People are like,
he
yeah.
bombed the worst of all time. They don't care. If you just play a single note, they're like, you're amazing.
You have your xylophone. You're like, I've got this.
You come out with the triangle and you're going to kill it.
Your
Glockenspiel. You got yeah,
I think
Glockenspiel.
Yeah, that's the official name of triangle, right?
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought so. Glockenspiel was something else.
I think you're right. I don't know.
Isn't the Glockenspiel like that thing that has like a keyboard attached to like a? Isn't that like a keyboard?
You're probably
slash...
right. I think you're right. I always thought of the Glockenspiel as a triangle, but I think I'm wrong. Because I mean, it's the triangle.
Yeah. If you have a Glockenspiel,
it's always been the triangle.
Redpodcast@gmail.com.
That's our show.
That's our show for today. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you laugh with us. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. Yes. That helps us move up the charts.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page. It's linked in our show notes.
If you can't beat them, join them. See you next week.